How does Gary's concept of wild mind and the fact that our region, comparatively speaking, has much more wilderness left than the rest of the continent, how does that affect the best of the writing from this region?
Well, if I can remember this correctly from conversations with Gary, he reminds us all the time that real wilderness means that there are places where there isn't a management plan, where the government bureaucrats, the administrators, no matter how well-meaning they are, really don't need to bother. There are some places that simply take care of themselves. It's called the natural world. That's that wilderness place. And if we take that kind, some of that kind of thinking, we can bring that into this idea of wild mind, that we can make some decisions for ourselves. We live in a world of some people call it the nanny state. And there's a reminder here that of that old do-it-yourself tradition, of the Western tradition. If we look at literature, how that's trying to embody that kind of thinking, I think we see people looking to First Nations culture, looking to the Aboriginal cultures for some of the old ideas about place, for insight into how the relationships between people and nature have taken place. And also, it comes down to how locations within this geography, this Pacific Coast geography, have taken their names, have found their names. And we're reclaiming that. For a long time, we lost it. Many places were Europeanized. I love going over the border to Bellingham and seeing the Culshan bicycle shop. And I like seeing little businesses who are taking back some of that old Salishan language and going, well, Mount Baker was okay for a while, but that's Culshan. And I feel better when I see Culshan than when I see Mount Baker. I'm getting something. It's 10,000 years old. So as Gary says, we are all inhabitants of this region. And since we can all be native here, it's time now that we're beginning to adopt some of the deep strata of that local culture.
Get in touch with our own indigenosity, right? But talk to us about the writers that are implementing an influence of the wilderness.
Well, it's a wonderful group that's coming up on the West Coast. I mean, certainly one of the people we hear a lot about now internationally, nationally, and for a long time has been Robert Bringhurst, living up on Quadra Island. Bringhurst's books, they're pregnant with ideas about how culture, about how language, about what we might call ecological literacy are expressing themselves every day all around us if we just open our eyes and take a look at it and if we use our ears to hear what's going on around us. So Bringhurst is there, tremendous poet, brilliant linguist, master of many languages, and a man who's bringing together these different elements into, I think, something like a modern vision that we can use to look at the cultures which we could become part inheritors of. People just over the border in Port Townsend, Red Pine, the great translator, Bill Porter, Michael O'Connor, I think Tess Gallagher in Port Angeles, they're terrific. Up here in British Columbia, there's no shortage of fine writers. Eden Robinson from Prince Rupert area, whose new book I'm just looking at. Maybe we can give you some late-breaking news for the world here. I just got it in the mail this morning. Here it is, The Sasquatch at Home by Eden Robinson, just come from University of Edmonton Press, or Alberta Press. Eden Robinson is there. I think some of the other writers that you look at, let's say, in making waves here, Joseph Blake talking about people like P.K. Page. This was a cultured, civilized, older writer out of Victoria, which has always been considered a kind of a colonial outpost on the Pacific. And yet, this was a Canadian writer who very much had a worldview, who had an international view, or I guess what we might call a cosmopolitan view. So I think P.K.'s in there. How about Robin Blazer? Some of them we've got to talk about. Who was actually talking in the 1960s about the idea of a Pacific nation.
Right, and there's a magazine of that very title. The wilderness part of it, though, you know, when you talk about P.K. Page, seems to me more representing a British tradition that's writing from Victoria and maybe hearkening back to more of a British literature tradition. And I'm thinking of the wild mind and how that wildness shows up. And it's a funny situation, and I see this especially in Seattle, where I live, that is that wilderness really cows a lot of people. And, you know, there's a lot of people moving here from places east of here. Anything east of Idaho is back east, you know, when you're in Seattle. And, you know, they wouldn't know a backpack from a suitcase. although at REI, the two can be the same thing. You know, you can have a backpack suitcase. But my point is that a lot of what's being written here could be written in Wichita, in Duluth, in Winnipeg. It has nothing to do with the wilderness.
Well, let's get down to some people then who are as local as it gets. John Schreiber in Victoria. He's got a brilliant new book. It's one of the most beautiful books I've ever read. It's called Old Lives, Tales from the Chilcotin. This is about the Chilcotin country in British Columbia. It's deep, 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 deep-rooted work. Terry Glavin, another terrific writer who has worked with forestry issues, fishery issues, First Nations issues now for many years. Anybody who visits Vancouver and picks up the Georgia Strait, our local version of the Village Voice, is likely to see Glavin's work at different times. A serious investigative type writer. So Glavin's in there. Sage Birchwater, another writer from upcountry, from the Quesnel Williams Lake area, working with a lot of roots, native culture, native ideas, indigeneity. These are the people who are really laying it down heavy. I think among poets, you might want to take a look at Susan Musgrave. There's a writer that's been around a long time, came up under the tutelage of Robin Skelton in Victoria, but has really worked at bringing in that wild woman tradition, Sonoqua tradition from the Aboriginal culture, and working it into a modern kind of feminist aesthetic. And now it's just gone beyond all of that, so that she's just become Susan Musgrave, and that's what makes her work so interesting. Got a couple of new books out lately. Someone worth taking a look at. There's some. She gets discussed in Making Waves as well by a young writer called Chelsea Thornton.